You know the drummer, Estefirio or whatever?
I wish we could get him to play.
That is good, man.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Bumper Sticker Wisdom. I'm Jason.
I'm John.
Sorry about the little reference to the drummer, but, you know, we're kind of getting in the zone.
By the way, I voted for him for Drummer of the Year, just so you know.
That dude is freaking
in multiple categories. He
insane,
is crazy.
Insane.
I also voted for Michael Portnoy for Dream Theater. He's amazing, too.
Dude, I like Kobe Fulton, too.
Ah, yeah, nice.
I like that dude, man. He's pretty good. What's the... Man, I just went blank. Old boy from Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, I know his name. Son of you. Dang it, man.
I like Travis Barker, too.
You made me lose it all of a sudden. Chad Smith.
So have you seen the video of him sitting at the on the park bench, and there's the street drummer playing on the buckets and stuff?
Yeah.
And Chad's just sitting there, and he's, like, vibing out. And this dude walks by, and he was like, someone really ought to tell this dude who he is. Because, you know, he's just sitting there vibing out, watching him play.
I think he's actually playing a Red Hot Chili Peppers song on the drums.
Yeah, dude. That's why he was like, yeah. He was like, someone really ought to tell this dude.
Oh, that's cool.
Brother John's going to say a quick little prayer, and we'll get started.
Yes, sir. Heavenly Father, we just want to offer ourselves up in a moment to give you thanks. Thanks for everything that you have not only done in our lives, but that you're doing in our lives. And thank you for all the things that you've done to break the chains that have surrounded us in our lives. We got a lot of suffering that we have had to deal with, and we know it's part of it, Father, but we just want to submit those things to you and remind ourselves and remind our enemy that we are healed. Father, we want to submit ourselves to you and ask that you remove anything from our hearts and our minds that may be displeasing to you and allow us to speak what it is that you want us to speak, Father God. Whatever it is that's going to heal somebody today or going to give somebody hope today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. So be it, as they say.
So be it. It is done.
It is finished.
Okay, so we got on a little tangent.
Yeah.
Last week.
Yeah.
About the firmament.
We did. And I don't know a lot about it.
Neither one of us know anything about it.
Yeah.
There were some key things that we debated there.
Yeah.
We watched a couple videos. We're not going to watch those because I feel like that's kind of disinformation. Like
anybody can say anything, right?
Anybody can say anything.
Right.
There were some very interesting things going on there.
Yeah.
I feel like it's getting too far into the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
But from that, kind of what I'm getting at is in the spiritual realm of things, when you read the Bible, the importance of everything.
Right.
Me and you were talking about how I feel like I've really kind of started to fall off.
Sure.
This is where I'm kind of going with this.
I get it.
In the spiritual realm of things, when you read the Bible, you know, in the Bible, it talks about the firmament and it, there's certain things it talks about. It also talks about arm yourself with the full armor of God.
Correct. Yes, sir.
The sword has no sheath.
Correct. Yes, sir.
You know, ready for battle at all times.
Yep.
We talked about how I felt like I've been really defeated.
Yes, sir.
So anyways, the main point of that is just to talk about how you really kind of got to stay in the word.
Yeah.
The word says a lot of things.
It does.
But pay attention to the ones that matter.
Yes, sir.
You had a very, very, I don't remember what you said. You were talking about love yourself or
love others as you love yourself.
Yeah. And so kind of what I'm getting at is I'd like for you to kind of expand on that.
Yeah.
It's because it's really hard. It's really hard to do those kind of things.
Yeah. So as I'm talking, I'll try to look up the scripture that I'm referring to. About when Jesus is asked what the greatest command is.
Yeah.
He says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, body, spirit, right? And it's not, that's not exactly, it's not verbatim. And the second is to love others as you love yourself, right? Yeah. This is the KJV version, and there's a whole setup, right? There's these, you know how these religious leaders were? They were always trying to trap Jesus. They were always trying to catch him in something so they could kill him. They want him dead. They want him gone because he is not representative of everything that they believe.
He always answered their questions basically with a question. You know what I mean?
But have you ever recognized when somebody answers a question with a question, it's a challenge?
Yeah.
Right? It's like a duel, but they never recognized it as a duel.
Yeah.
It's because they were playing with dull swords, and he was playing with the sharpest sword ever. But
I love to watch, and we've talked about this 100 times.
Yeah.
If you watch The Chosen, you actually get a visual representation of just how witty and how his parables and all that stuff worked. Because, you know, like the one I watched last night, I've seen that episode 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
He's sitting with Quintus. And he tells
him. The Roman soldier.
Yeah, he's telling him, I don't think you understand what you get, or I don't think you understand what you're doing, I like you. I don't know if you understand the trouble you're causing.
He's right.
Like, well, I think a lot of people will say that about me. It's like, this dude doesn't know. Like, he doesn't say, "Oh, I'm sorry." He's like, "Well, I think a lot of people will say that about me."
Yeah, he's like, "It's all good. I get you. You know, you might not like what I got to give you, but just because you don't like it doesn't make it not the truth."
Yeah.
Right. And I think it might be beneficial if we just go ahead and kind of read the whole little exchange. Jesus, that day, same day, Jesus was approached by some Sadducees, religious leaders who say there is no resurrection from the dead. They pose this question. Teacher, what? Hold on.
Moses said, oh.
Did I miss something? I think I'm in the wrong scripture almost all of a sudden.
No, he's, well.
Good grief. Technical difficulties. I'm not very smart.
It's all good. It's all good.
22:37-39. Oh, 37. My bad. I was too early.
Okay.
Okay. Starting in verse 34, Matthew chapter 22, starting at verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees with this reply, they met together to question him again. There's always somebody to question him. One of them, who is an expert in religious law. This is the thing. I think pay attention to law, religious law. Right? Tried to trap him with this question. Question? I'm on fire! Question. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself." Now, the last verse, most people leave it, but we need to speak it. The entire law and all of the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments.
Okay, so from that, let's go back to the first episode we recorded of this season, episode 53.
Yes, sir.
Our men's group.
Yes, sir.
It was a recording with our men's group.
Which was a good recording, by the way.
Ronnie brought up something that was very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
When he talked about how hard it was to love wholeheartedly when you have all these things that you're supposed to love.
Yep.
Your kids, your wife, your job, your neighbor, your dogs.
Yeah, you start to give so much of yourself.
You're scattered everywhere. How can you really, truly, honestly say, and we've even talked about this. We've watched a video on loving God wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
And he asked, like, do you love him wholeheartedly? And he's like, if I'm being honest, probably not.
Probably not. That's a tough stunt to pull off.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes we think that we take things a little too literally, right? Because if God wanted you to love him all with your whole 1,000% heart, everything you have, why would he tell you to love others as well? Because you can't split it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If it's only him and only him, why would he tell you to love others? You see what I'm saying? And my dad and I were having this conversation a little earlier today because I think that I got trapped into that line of thinking as well, because the commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, body, spirit. The second, The second commandment is like it, Jesus said. It's the same thing. It's equal to. It's not less than. It's not A and B. It's equal to.
Yeah. Love thy neighbor as though you love yourself.
Correct. So you can't, but you can't.
Or as you love yourself.
But like you said about, like we would say about a multitasker, you can't multitask because then you can't give 100% of any to anything, any one thing, right? So you're only giving 50% of yourself to each thing if it's your two things. If it's three things, it's 30% of yourself to each thing. But my dad made a very interesting point. You realize that there's not like a limit on how much love you have to give.
Yeah.
There's not like a number. Like, okay, I have 5 gallons of love to give. Yeah. I'm going to give 3 gallons to God, 1 to my wife, and 1 to everything else.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? I think what Christ is trying to say here, and I think what Scripture is saying is God comes first. And if whatever you love is trying to steer you away from God, choose him first.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Okay, so basically what you're trying to say is like, okay, like I love my wife. I love my wife more than anything on this earth that I could ever love.
Same, yes.
But as long as she's not interfering with my love for Christ,
yes,
it's safe.
Yes. Because you, as long as you're choosing him above her.
Yeah, and she's not trying to talk me down from that.
Right. If she's trying to tell you, like, hey, I need less of your time from church and more of your time for me,
yeah,
then there's something that needs to be examined. Does that make sense? I need you to stop focusing on that word and start focusing on me.
Yeah. I don't like you going to Bible study because it's taken away from my time or whatever.
Yeah. Because at that, and look, time is a difficult thing, right? And Tanner actually made that point about how, like, I think love is a lot encompassed into time. And that's a very valid point because it's about what we're giving ourselves to. What are we devoting ourselves to?
Yeah, you have time for this. You have time for that. You have time for this. A little bit of time for that. Sprinkle of time for you. You suck. No time for you. You know.
But I think at the end of the day, too, like we find sometimes we take things so literally and we just want to be. We have to recognize that God knows who we are.
Yeah.
He knows how we're designed. He knows everything about Jason. He knows everything about John.
How many hairs I lost in the shower this morning?
Yeah. He knows how long my beard is. You know what I'm saying? Like
45 hairs.
Oh, dude, morning. I don't even want to talk about that.
Bro, my hairline's like in the army.
It's running back.
You know what I mean? Like,
get to the chopper.
It's just trying to run.
I'm just saying.
That dude's forehead's so big, he can download movies. Downloading dreams like I'm downloading movies.
Oh, right? My goodness.
Golly.
I'm just saying, like, I think that sometimes we allow good things to be discouraging out of God's word, right? Because, look, I think if you take it at face value to love God with all your heart.
I mean, you don't have room to love anything else.
Right.
Anything.
Jordan Peters 100% correct at that point.
Yeah.
No, I'm not capable.
Yeah, he said no.
I obviously don't.
He says probably not.
Am I trying?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But he's failing.
But I think the truth is
I like that guy's response.
I love the
genuine human aspect of it.
Yeah, I love the reality of it. I love the fact that I can relate to it.
Yeah.
Because I feel the same way. And then I start to, but then at the same time, I started to question myself. And I'm like, man, where am I falling short? But the thing is it's like, am I allowing God to become secondary in my life? Because look, I've talked about before how like money is a problem for me. Financial stuff is an issue for me.
Yeah, you're just like,
I want to latch on to it. Right. And therefore, I make money more important to me than God.
Yeah.
Right. That's a problem, right? I'm not loving God the way I'm supposed to. I've got to put God back on the throne of my life. And that's why I think the principle of the tithe is there, okay? It's not so the church can steal your money. It's not so...
Me and you have talked about that too. Like how long does a church have to run through the slums before they can actually start doing, because, I mean, like, our church does a lot of great things. They do a lot of great things to help people.
There was what? You weren't at the church this week, but the money they raised for the Heart for the House deal, they raised quite a bit more than what they were hoping. There's 10 missions across the world that they contribute to. We're building a church somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Like across the world.
Yeah.
There's other outreaches within our community that we donate to, we submit to, that we work with. You know what I mean?
So then you look at that.
Yeah.
You know.
Plus, they got
to
keep
the lights on. We're supposed to be fishers of men.
Correct.
You can't do that by staying in your bubble.
Yep.
You have to make a contribution. You have to reach out. You have to reach people.
Yep.
So you look at all these things that they do. They can't do that based on just, I mean,
hopes and dreams.
Oh man, we're a church. We're a nonprofit. We don't really make money. Can y'all not do this for us? You know, like on the old attaboy status, you know, like no one's going to do that for them. Everybody's in the business of making money. So you have to give them money. You have to tithe. You have to give an offering. Yeah. You have to do those kind of things. And on top of that, look, I don't care what anybody says. Our pastor, whatever he makes, he does not make enough, because that dude plans and goes over his whole message, and he does like. This is how he makes a living. Yes, he should be able to make a living. We should contribute to that. Look, we all love going there. Yes, I love going there.
Yeah.
If we're not willing to give a little bit of money to make sure that that place can stay open, then why? That place obviously doesn't mean anything to us.
For the state of Texas, this will make a lot more sense for people that come from Texas. To say that the pastor shouldn't make a living or even thrive would be the same as telling me that a rancher shouldn't,
or a farmer here,
shouldn't make money off the head of his cattle.
Yeah.
He shouldn't become rich or wealthy or live a prosperous life.
That should be his job. His job is to feed us. No, that's not how that works.
I mean, come on. Does that not make the most sense in the world?
Yeah. That's not how that works.
Like, I'm not saying, look, now don't get me wrong.
There are some that take it a little too far.
Exactly. And this is why everybody's so jaded toward the fact, right? Yeah. Is that the church is all about the money. Look, it's not about that.
I'm not going to name drop, but one of them just bought an airplane not too long ago from Tyler Perry.
Not naming any names.
Not naming any names, but.
But, you know, it rhymes I don't remember. Oakland.
Yeah. You just have to understand the fact that, okay, when you do things like that, it is going to draw attention and it does look bad. But at the same time, we don't know what he gave for that. We don't know how much.
The question is you don't know. The real truth of it is you don't know how he acquired all of that money.
Yeah.
You assume that it's all acquired through church giving.
Yeah, and you talked about this too. He may have been a very wise investor. What he does, the money he made from the church, he may have been like, hey, look, man, I think I need to invest in this. And it may have hit for him.
I mean, come on, man.
But
there's a thin line between love and hate. Yeah. But I'm just saying, and look, I don't think the conversation's headed that direction. I don't think that's what we were trying to talk about. But it's just kind of all part of the conversation.
It's just, I think it's very important for people to understand the fact that, yes, they do have they still have a family to take care of. Like, our pastor invests 100% of his time. Mm-hmm. Into every Sunday message.
He tithes to the church too.
Yeah,
he gives above and beyond to the church too.
He's not. This guy. Bro, I just wish people could. I wish people could go.
Oh, but come to the 8:30 service when it's early and it's not a lot of people there because we have room.
It's
a great
and you get
place
the,
to be.
The message is always spot on.
Yeah.
I always feel like he's talking directly to me.
Every time, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Let me tell you something. This guy found out, I don't talk to people about my issues. I didn't tell anybody about my arm. You know what I'm saying? I didn't tell anybody that I blew my distal bicep tendon. I didn't tell anybody about that. That dude knew, and he came and found me. It was like, hey, I need to pray with you. Pray healing over your arm. I know you're going to have surgery, but you know, and all that. And he talked me through all of that and prayed, like, just he initiated contact. I'm not the only one he's doing that for, right? Yeah. There are people from that church that showed up to my surgery and prayed with me.
Well, you showed up the morning of my surgery.
You're my brother. I love you. Of course I would.
At my house.
I did.
And said a prayer. And I have to give glory to God right now that my surgeon is amazed at how well I'm doing right now.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know, he's like, hey, are you still having to take any meds? No, sir. He said, no Tylenol. Said, no, sir. He said, how long has that been? I said, over a week. He said, you're 3 weeks out right now.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Remember, hey, you had to have, God designed them to have, to gave them the knowledge and the power to be able to do something to you to help you heal.
Yeah. He took my x-rays.
He still knows your body. Yeah. He knows how to align everything in such a perfect way that it heals miraculously.
I've had zero leg pain. I can sneeze standing up without fear of falling over.
Down.
Yeah. Which is amazing. I can stand, I can walk, I can do all those things. I feel better now than I did before my surgery. I'm 3 weeks out.
Yeah.
The surgeon's like, man, this is awesome. He's like, he's like, can you put your own shoes on? Can you touch your toes? I said, yeah, I was telling him what I got to do. And he's like, you're doing everything the right way.
Yeah.
You know, I prop myself up against my gun safe and put my socks on, you know, I keep myself straight. I have to have something to hold me. And then I bring my leg as far as I can, you know, and I'm so out of shape. Round is a shape, but I still feel so out of shape because I'm just like, I hold on to my sock. Once I get my toes in there, it's game over. I am murdering these socks because I'm just holding on to one side and just shoving my leg through there. But he's like, no, that's how you're supposed to do it right now. And he's like, so he's like, how do you bend over? Like, if you have to pick something up, what do you do? And I said, man, I've had to squat for so long to pick stuff up off the floor. I haven't been able to bend over and pick nothing up in so long.
Yeah.
That it's just, it's like muscle memory. If I drop something, I squat down.
Yeah.
I don't bend. He's like, oh, that's perfect. And he's like, all this stuff's like really working out. He gave me the x-rays. He looked at the x-rays. Like, everything's set good.
Yeah.
Raised my lift limit.
From 5 to 20, 15
5
to 20?
15. He said 20 in the right position. He said no more than 20. He said, you're up around 15 to 20.
It's awesome, though.
Yeah.
Far ahead of schedule.
Yeah.
Far ahead of schedule.
Yeah, so I go back in 6 weeks. And I'm not trying to, like talk about how good I'm doing. I'm just trying to give some glory to God because.
Absolutely. Hey.
None of this stuff is possible. But, he's like, I'll see you in 6 weeks. We'll talk about what else you can do. He's like, I'd asked him before. I was like, what's my mobility going to be?
Yeah.
He's like 85, 90%.
Yeah,
of full health, you'll get about 85 to 90% of your mobility back.
Yeah,
and today, he's like, based on how everything's going, he's like, I'll see you in 6 weeks. We'll talk about if you can start working out and like doing kind of some of that stuff again. He's like, the way it looks, man, you ought to get about 95% of your mobility back.
Dang, bro, that's so awesome. Praise
that's
God.
That's really good.
Praise God.
Considering,
Well, I think about where my arm is today.
Oh yeah,
and look, my surgeon, who is actually a world-renowned surgeon, he's got papers published everywhere. He has methods that are used universally for people in his field in shoulder and elbow surgery. Fantastic surgeon, took great care of me. He left me a nice scar, but
Some of that was on you.
some of that's on that me was for on sure. You. He told me it would be a year. Roughly before it's back to what we would call 100% stretched out. But, bro, I'm benching 225. I was repping 225 today on the bench, and I could curl 50 pretty easy. You know what I'm saying? And, I think that's beyond – that's more than what I was doing before I got the surgery. You know what I'm saying? Not that I couldn't have, but I don't necessarily work out like that. I'm not trying to get bigger. I'm already big. I don't need help getting big.
Yeah.
I'm more cutting. But, I mean –
light and strenuous.
Yeah, light and lots of reps and slow.
30 reps.
Yeah, you know slow I mean? Reps, yeah. But still, I'm only 6 months removed. It was June when I got surgery.
Have you seen the Rich Piana workout? You know who Rich Piana is?
Never heard of that.
Okay, so he died not too long ago, very young. Look up Rich Piana. He does the 15-pound dumbbells workout. 15-pound dumbbells. You do skull crushers. Yes. Look at this dude.
My Lord.
Look at this dude. This dude is an absolute freaking animal. Bro, you should see him when he's walking.
He can't walk.
No, bro. He can't. The dude can't even scratch his own back. But anyways, he does a 15-pound. He says go somewhere by 2 15-pound dumbbells. He passed away from a massive heart attack or something.
Of course, they're saying he was on roids.
Yes, of course he was. He was pretty openly talking about it.
God, he's freaking ridiculous.
Let's do 100 skull crushers at night.
This.
Yeah, lay on your back, do 100 skull crushers before you go to sleep. 100 skull crushers and 100 curls. This is what he does to get the pump. Look at this picture over here.
This guy is
look insane. At that. Look at that freaking picture right there.
Wow.
Look at that one. Look at that.
That doesn't even look like a real person.
No.
He looks like the Hulk.
It looks like AI.
It does, but he literally looks like what you would think the Hulk looks like.
Yeah. That dude is a monster. Holy crap. Look at this. Look at his shoulders and his neck.
Jesus.
He was mad. So one of the videos I seen, he was pissed because the circumference of his calves was like 23 inches.
Mm-hmm.
His calves.
That's pretty big calves.
That's pretty big freaking calves. And he was pissed about it. He's pissed about how small his calves were. Look at this dude's freaking legs. Like, look at his arms and look at his freaking legs.
All I'm seeing is his chest, and I don't see his legs real well. But, yeah.
Look at that. Look at his arm. His arm is as big around as his wife's chest.
I mean, that's big. That's a big dude.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious. My calves are that big. I got big old calves, though. Of course, I don't know. I haven't measured them, but
well, that's a bronze statue.
Oh, okay. Anyway, I mean, that's not the whole point, but
yeah,
he's massive.
Yeah,
massive. But 15-pound dumbbells that.
Yes, and that's what he does. So he does. He did three reps of each. 100 skull crushers, 100 curls. 100 skull crushers, 100 curls. 100 skull crushers, 100 curls.
You go to the gym and you see these really big. Early top heavy guys, because they never work their legs. They're only focused on their arms. And they would make fun of you for doing 15s.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they would be like, oh, my gosh, look at this chump.
Dude, but he does it. He has a video. He does it, and he shows you.
Let me tell you something. Go take a 15-pound dumbbell and do 100 skull crushers and tell me how you feel tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay, so in my prime, when we went to Miami, remember, I was working out twice a day. I was doing it to get cut. Like, I wanted my beach body.
Yeah.
I took the
beach well body.
Shut up. I was doing that workout, and the most I could get was 58. The most, and I was in a set? 58 in a set.
Dang.
Okay, but now let me tell you this. The first set, 58. That was the most I ever got.
Wow.
And then it drops off significantly.
Yeah, like 18 the next set.
And then my third one's like 9. You know what I mean? Because, dude, I'm burned out.
I bet. Yeah.
I don't have that kind of.
Well, and the only reason that he can get through it and do it again is through steroids. That's the only way, because the muscle recovery, right?
Yeah.
And I'm saying, let's bring back steroids into sports, man.
You can pick up a 15-pound dumbbell and you're like, damn, man.
Oh, I know. So, like, when I was rehabbing my arm, right, I had to start at 5 pounds. Well, I didn't want to be doing supination curls 5 pounds with this arm and do 25 pounds with this one. So I was 35. So I was like,
that was not the motion you need to make in front of the camera, bro.
It can't see me anyway. It can't see me.
It's this way, not this way.
We're just dudes here. Who cares? Anyway, the supination curls, but still, like, to do 5 pounds. I was just like, it's like lazy. Like, come on, man. Like, this is.
So he basically had you doing like hammer curls.
It's like that, right? So.
Oh, okay.
And around, right? So they call it supinate. That's what this is with your arm, is supinating.
Okay.
It's that motion or whatever. Anyway, that doesn't matter. But yeah, the different, like this arm, it was a challenge because like this tendon is completely stretched out and all this stuff. And it looks different still. Like when I do certain pulls and lifts. Like, if I see myself in the mirror, this bicep's a little shorter than this one because it's stretched out further. You know what I mean? Yeah. But, dude, it's doing good. You think about it. I'm only 6 months removed, and he told me last time I went in when he cleared me to continue, but he said only gradually go up 5 pounds every week. He's like, it's about a year. He said about 6 months, you're healed enough to really challenge it. He said, continuing. But it's about a year before it's fully – what we call looks like the original tendon.
Yeah.
So I feel pretty good, dude, working hard. But
yeah.
I don't know how why we went that direction or how, but it's all good.
We were talking about giving glory to God.
And your surgery and, you know. Bro, you know, to get the opportunity to do that and to even be willing to do that for you and with you is one of the proudest mornings I ever had in my life, man. I kind of walked on air that day, honestly. And
that was the most scared I've ever been in my entire life. So for any and you know me, you know how I am. You know the fear of being sat still.
Yeah.
Is real. It runs deep. It's an actual thing for me. I don't do that. I don't sit still.
No.
So being told, you know, there's gonna be several weeks there where I'm basically gonna be, you know, recliner ridden, and he talked about not being able to not being able to drive, not being able to, and you know, of course, I violated that 1 weekend. But the fear is real, and I'm not that guy that can sit still, so I was terrified.
Yeah,
terrified.
I remember.
I mean, I was the stress levels were really high. I mean, I wasn't feeling it. There was a couple times I was thinking to myself, like, man, I just. You know, like, hey, man,
I'd really rather let's not do this.
Yeah, let's visit this. Maybe let's visit this next year or something like that. But I'll tell you this right now, the best thing that ever happened.
Yeah. 3 days in, I got to come see you, and I saw your state at that point.
I was questioning the surgery at that point. I was like, man, what did I do to myself?
You were in a tough spot at that point. Well, I mean, you'd been 3 days without a bowel movement at that point. I'd be questioning life.
I went 5 days before finally.
Yeah.
That's so and you're looking at a dude that's like 2-3 times a day.
Yeah.
But that's also why I lost so much weight. It's because I quit eating. So.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
Yeah, you look like you're starting to put some of it back
on. Yeah, I'm starting to put some of it back on. Yeah. I'd like shelved eating. I was like, nope, ain't nothing coming out of that end. Ain't nothing going in this end. But also, too, it was. I would try to munch on things and it'd make me sick almost. And that was my biggest fear. It's like, I'm not trying to puke with all this happening back here because,
oh no,
I don't know when you puke, it comes from all of this, you know,
your entire core is engaged.
Yeah. And I was not trying to have that feeling.
Heck no.
So I really just kind of shelved eating, and I bet I probably lost about 10, 15 pounds.
At least. I would say 10 at least.
Through that whole thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, that when you come out, you hung out with me, I was really questioning, like, what did I do to myself?
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't get, I mean, it was hard to talk to you at that point because you were not in a good headspace. You were still medicated, and three.
I would just kind of stare at the TV. I'd look at you, and then I'd kind of just like, did I leave you in there? Did I go lay in the bedroom while you were there?
No,
I did it to my mom several times.
You stayed in there with me the whole time. One time you looked at me and go, hey, I'm going to shut my eyes for like 10 minutes. I was like, cool.
Yeah.
I did it. I was like, I'm going to go sleep with you, man.
My mom, my poor mom. So when she was there with me several times, I was like, hey, I got to go lay in the bed. Flat on my back was the most comfortable I could get. And I couldn't get it in the recliner. Like I could only get like that.
Yeah, there's still a little bit of a hook
still,
in it.
Yeah, I mean, you still got that. You're still shaped like a fishbowl.
You're still cupped
what I mean?
A little bit. Yeah.
And I just couldn't do it. So I would go lay in there, and then I'd come out, and it'd been like 3 hours, and my mom's just sitting there like, hey. I'm like, man, I'm sorry. You know, I mean to leave you in here, but that's the most comfortable place I got to go.
Yeah.
Anyways, this is kind of getting drug out, but you came and prayed for me that morning at my most probably, I would say, desperate morning of my life. You know, the most stressful, the most fearful.
Yeah.
It all just kind of goes back to show, like, the glory of how all this stuff works.
Yeah.
You know, you called me that night before. You're like, hey, what time is your surgery? I'm going to be there at this time in the morning, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't tell me that there's not – people can't say that there's not something in that, like –
You can't tell me that the words you speak aren't powerful. You can't tell me that prayer doesn't work. You can't tell me that the God is not there, that he's not concerned about you.
You have to secede at some point and be like, okay, look, yeah, you're right.
I mean, the evidence in my life has proven this all to be true, right? And the things that I've seen. But I'm looking with the eye that I want to see, right? I want to find out. I want to know the truth. Everything that I have seen truthfully has pointed me to God, a God, okay? Now I'm going to bring up something that happened last night, and it's kind of going to coincide with the love thing and all that stuff, but it really more points to just how crazy interested in you God is.
Yeah.
Last night, we didn't do Bible study, right? We kind of try to do this three on, one off kind of thing so we don't take extended breaks, because last time we did that, we found that was bad news.
Yeah. We took like a month off.
Yeah, it was too long, and it got drug out, and everybody kind of started going haywire. So anyway, but that wasn't why I took the break. I took the break because my wife wasn't going to be doing what she normally does on Monday and asked me, she wanted some time. So I was like, cool. We went to dinner, whatever. We're sitting at dinner, and a friend of ours called from the church, a female friend of hers called, and a friend of mine, I'm not going to say it's a friend of hers, it's a friend of mine too, called and was asking a question about plumbing. Well, what she asked and what she was describing to me was very strange. I didn't understand, and there's only one person I know to call. We're not going to put his name out.
Yeah.
Because nobody needs to know who or what's going on. But the only person I know to call and ask questions about that is one of our brothers. So I called him for that reason only. And it just so happens that he was dealing with something. And I could tell. You know what I mean? I could tell when he answered the phone something was up.
Yeah.
I'm like, you good? Yeah, I'm good. Are you sure? He's like, well, I will be. Well, okay, brother. Well, what's going on? Talk to me. And he just started talking to me about, like, the further he gets into relationship with God, like, he's starting to recognize how far away some of the people that he loves are from him.
Yeah.
And that it's something that we all have to deal with.
Yeah.
And I tried to give him some encouragement. I don't know how much it helped, but I tried to give him some encouragement about how we stay where, if as long as we stay on the path, those people will come back, right? It's just like the prodigal son. And it just blew my mind. After I was all done with the conversation, it just blew my mind because he was like, who told you to call me? And I'm like, I didn't call you for that. Yeah. I didn't even call you because God told me to call you. I called you because I heard someone else say something that I didn't understand that I knew you would know. And this is who I would go to whenever I have that question.
Yeah.
But you cannot tell me that that's not God. You cannot tell
the
me.
Small little intervening that he did, the little breadcrumbs he threw out there, like, hey, do these things. And then it's like, oh.
It seems so random, right? It seems so random. It seems like so coincidental.
It's far from
far from it.
Far from it,
man. And I know this life is hard, man. This relationship is hard. And choosing to go down this road, it's hard and it's scary and it's painful. And as men, it's even harder because we're so hard-headed and we want to do it by ourselves because we're, you know what I mean? Yeah. I feel like that's where a lot of that comes from.
Pound our chest, do all that shit.
Look what I did. Look what I can do. I'm strong. I can handle it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, you can't. Stop.
Yeah.
Stop. And that's one of the things that you and I focused on here. But also what we try to focus on in our groups is like, bro, we've got to break down these walls. Yeah. If with nobody else with us, you know what I mean? I don't care if it's with it. Don't do it to anybody else. You don't just trust anybody. But bro, we've been doing this for over a year. You know what I mean? These people have been together for almost a year. Not all of them. We've been doing this for over a year. So it's probably 18
months.
It's
been about 18 months, 2 years for.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is pretty young. It is pretty fresh. We just talked about that.
Yeah, we did. Oops, I'm chewing ice in the thing.
I'm chewing a freaking strawberry bonbon.
My bad.
Found another good one, too, so it's all good.
That's good. You finally found one with the juicy cream filling.
Yeah, I finally found some with something in the middle. Things piss me off.
But
anywho.
It just reminded me of, like, how God is so concerned with you that, like, that was an important moment. You know what I mean? Because if I hadn't have called him, he'd have just tried to do it himself. And he's just going to go further down that rabbit hole and further down that rabbit hole and further down that rabbit hole with no encouragement other than what he's trying to seek for himself.
Yeah.
Right? And look, you may be daily entrenched. You may be reading 15 chapters of the Bible a day. You may be. But if you got nobody there to help guide you, nobody there to help bounce shit off of, you're going to go wrong directions. I promise you.
Yeah.
I've seen it. I've done it myself. Oops. Yeah. I do it myself.
Yeah.
So I said all of that because I feel like the conversation that you and I started today with is a reminder of that, right? Like, we probably should have had that conversation much sooner.
We probably should have had that conversation a couple weeks ago.
Most likely.
To be honest, if I wouldn't have been recovering, if I wouldn't have been post-surgery,
yeah,
we probably would have had that conversation that Wednesday.
Yeah. Very you know probably. What I mean?
Yeah, because you came Wednesday, didn't you?
You
came and hung out with me that Wednesday. I had surgery.
It was Thursday.
Yep. Yeah, so that Thursday, if I wouldn't have been post surgery, we probably would have had that conversation.
Yep.
You know what's crazy? Okay, so you saw me that Thursday, and I refused to do anything. Friday, I got in my truck and drove myself to Rancher Storefront.
Yeah. And walked all over your pasture.
Yeah, I walked my entire pasture. Like, walked the land beside my house, walked my pasture at my house. Like, I walked all that stuff.
Yeah. It's amazing how different 24 hours.
One day.
Yeah.
One day. So you go there. That following Monday, we recorded.
Yeah.
I couldn't even hardly sit still.
No, and to be fair, that was an uncomfortable seating situation.
But that was 2 weeks ago.
That was 2 weeks ago.
Two weeks ago.
Yep. We've been in the podcast booth 2 weeks in a row.
Okay. So look at the difference right now.
you're as normal as I've seen you in a long time.
This is the best I've felt in probably over a year and a half.
Minimum. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Over a year and a half. This is the 3 weeks out of surgery. This is the most comfortable I have been.
Yep. Definitely some miraculous things going on in there, man. God's been doing his work. I'm just so grateful to God, man. I'm so grateful that
that's where I got to get better. I got to get better at recognizing that. We talked about this. We talked about this before the podcast started. Now, Tom, like, been beating myself up over this.
Yeah. Well, so having an attitude of gratitude, right? Is that kind of what we're talking about? Like, having an attitude of thankfulness and, you know, focusing on the right things, I guess, is the deal, right? And it goes right back to the conversation about keeping God first. You know, I put our goal, like, these are the goals that you and I set before we recorded episode 52. And these are goals that are not actually podcast related. They really apply to life as well. Yeah. And it's, you know, keep God first is number one. Staying consistent is number two. Speak positively and do not give life to the failures is three. And then four. This is more about the podcast than anything. If we have money or if we make money, God gets his. All those things really center around the same thing, though, making sure God stays on the throne, right, instead of putting other things on the throne. And sometimes we actually not just things get on our throne, but our worries get on our throne.
Yeah.
And that becomes our central focus. Our stress becomes our number one rather than God. And we forget how big our God is and how powerful and how amazing and how concerned he is with us. We talked about it with our group about, like, why we won't come to each other is because, like, I don't want to burden people.
Yeah.
Because I feel like my problems are so small. That's such a terrible way of seeing it and thinking about it. And it's not your fault that you see it that way. That's the problem.
Okay, so let me ask you this.
There's a difference between...
We sit there and we talk all that crap about, oh, man, like, this is too minute, man. I can't bring this to anybody. This is such a small deal. Like, I don't want to burden someone with something so insignificant. If it's bothering you, it is significant. Like...
I don't know how much more 2 and 2 makes 4 there is.
No, you take it. Okay, so look, man, it goes, you can look at it 100 million different ways. If a woman comes to you and she's like, hey, I don't like what you're doing on social media. Men will correct that. Most men who are in a loving relationship actually love their spouse. They will correct that right now.
100%.
No qualms about it. Like, they spoke. They didn't like it. Cool. Done.
Done. Out. Yeah. Don't need that. Yep.
If your kid comes up to you, hey, Dad, I don't like how you were acting at my football game. You're being a little too aggressive. You're done. Most men are, oh, man, you know what? You're right. I'm sorry. Yep. I was way out of line. I'm sorry that I put you in that. I don't mean to make you feel that way. Whatever.
100%. Yep.
If your daughter comes up to you like, I don't like the way you were talking to my boyfriend, most men are going to be like, hey, you know what? Tell him he can suck it.
Tell him to come tell me himself is what you're going to say. Yeah.
But men are very receptive.
We are.
But we still refuse to go to other men and be like, hey, man, I'm struggling with this. We'll change everything on the drop of a hat. Oh, hey, look, I'm struggling. We're struggling in our finances. We really kind of need to watch what we're doing here. Bet. Got you. We really can't afford to do this. Bet. I got you.
It's because we were raised to buy the lie that your problems don't matter. It is a lie, by the way.
If it bothers you, it matters. We freaking sell out for everyone else.
Hey, if
men sell out for everyone else, our feelings matter. It doesn't matter.
Are you a human who bleeds?
Yeah.
Please don't play. Darn it.
Hey, sorry. That just reminded me of something. Don't mean to change this. The conversation.
I don't want to change it for too far.
But did you see all the crap that all the Bengals fans and the organization are saying? The Chiefs threw that game to avoid having to play them in the playoffs and yada, yada, yada.
Come on, bro. I doubt it very seriously. Right now, I don't think the Chiefs are scared of anybody.
No. And that's the thing. It's like everybody's like, dude, but Mahomes has had a terrible season. I'm like, you know.
They've won.
Okay, but here's the thing. Statistically, he hasn't had the greatest season, but they are the most complete football team he has had. Defensively and offensively, they are playing fundamental football together. That is scary as crap to me. Them and the Raiders are the two teams I hate the most. I'm a Denver Broncos.
You're a Denver Broncos.
Them and the Raiders are the two teams that I despise the most.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is the most dangerous team. Look, I've been a fan. I've been a Bronco fan for 30 plus years.
Yeah.
I've never been afraid of the Chiefs. I'm terrified of them right now.
Nobody wants them.
No.
Nobody wants them.
Nobody wants to draw that ticket.
You know, the Bills and Ravens might want them, but they might regret that decision.
The Ravens have already beat the Ravens this year.
I'll be honest with you. This is the team that I truly believe has a chance to do the three-peat. The first team I've actually truly believed could since the Cowboys of the 90s, okay?
Well, I thought the Patriots, too. The Broncos ended that run.
That's beat them in the postseason.
That's the year the Broncos won the Super Bowl.
Yeah. My thing is when the Cowboys won 3 out of 4,
yeah,
they won 92-93, and then they switched coaches.
Yeah.
Right?
Barry Switzer.
Barry freaking Switzer.
And all he did was ride Jimmy Johnson's coattail. Jimmy Johnson built that team.
100%.
Screw Barry Switzer.
If they wouldn't have played with fire and let all of that play out and Jimmy Johnson would have stuck around, I think they might have won 4. Yeah. I mean, seriously, they still only lost to the 49ers in the NFC Championship game by like
49ers beat the Chargers that year.
Yeah, and they beat the Cowboys barely in the NFC Championship game.
In San Francisco, though.
In San Francisco, exactly. So, anyway, this is the closest I've seen it. But back follow that off of all of our fanboy stuff with the sports. One of the things was like, we were talking about how we'll just eat it and we'll just eat it and we'll just eat it. I've got this video that I came across a long time ago. This older gentleman, I don't know who he is, but I've seen him on a lot of things. I don't really know his name. I wish I could tell you who it is, but this guy asked him an interesting question about
what before you do this, I want to read this. And this is stereotypical men thought. This lady says, my husband tells me if I share my stresses with you, we'll both be stressed. And what's the good in that? I'd rather you be happy.
100%.
That's man mentality right there.
It truly is. And we're talking about
real men. Not F alter boys. Ego to fornicate boys. Yeah.
We're talking about real men.
Jagoffs.
In it to commit it. They're there to be real men, to support their family and love.
I'm not just out there trying to be players and do all this stuff. Yes, that is a 100. Look, that little comment's got almost 6,000 likes.
No kidding.
Go ahead. It is. Alpha motivation, too. I like that. I like this
wish
content.
Wish more women knew about how men operated.
There's 10,000 times more going on inside the head like of a man than you have any idea. He's carrying burdens that you don't have a clue about, and he don't know how to express them, and he don't know what to do about it, and he figures if he puts it out there and communicates it, he's just going to be shot down, called a fool, called weak. So he carries it inside, and you have no clue the burdens and the hell that most men are carrying inside and not even showing you. I wish more women understood that.
I mean, seriously, I relate to every single thing that that man just said.
Dude.
And it hurts my heart to think that we all are dealing with that stuff. It really does. It kills me. Because we all live with...
Every one of us have a certain level of failure that we feel like we're stuck in. And I'm not just saying men. I know women that feel that
plenty
way too.
Plenty of them, yeah.
That mm-hmm. feel like they're stuck in this repetitive cycle of failure.
Yeah.
Look. Guys. Pastor Richie says it the best way. A rut is just a grave with the ends knocked out. When you feel like you're stuck like that, that's what you're doing. You're running this rut. And a rut can be as long as you want it to be. It's 6 foot deep. It just ain't got no ends. If you take and drop a ladder or steps on one side and you run to that side and you finally run out of that rut, you finally run out of that baggage, that drama, that crap lifestyle that you've been carrying, how much weight do you feel like is going to be off your shoulder?
Yeah.
Like,
we run through this cycle and
you run through it so much that you forget that at some point there possibly could be an end.
In our Bible roulette today, it came up and the second Corinthians, three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love.
Yeah.
And then I talked a little bit on the Bible roulette about, like, we've talked multiple, we actually started this conversation about love God with all your heart, right? And the second is to love others. And this is where I was kind of wanting to go from the beginning. Love others as you love yourself.
Yeah. What, I'm thinking something. Love your wife as God loved us. So
love the church.
As God loved the church.
Yeah, right. As Christ loved the church. Yeah. To love others as you love yourself. Pay attention to that, though, that sentence.
Yeah, but if you don't love yourself,
how are you going to love others?
Yeah. Ooh.
And how do you love yourself if you don't know how completely God loves you?
That's like hitting the Himalayas with sleds on your feet
and trying to climb.
Yeah.
Up.
Yeah.
Gravity's going to take toll.
Yeah. With skis on your feet, try to climb the Himalayas with skis on your feet. See what happens.
Oh, you're not going to make it very far. Scripture says we love because He first loved us. Yeah. We don't even understand how to love unless we understand that He loves us. Why do we not love others the way we should? That's a direct reflection of how we love ourselves. That's the conviction. And that's the painful part. That's the part that hurts. Because I'll tell you this, I can be honest enough with everybody that I don't love myself very much. I look at myself and I'm disgusted by me.
Yeah.
No matter all the good things that I do. Trust me.
I had to lighten the mood.
I know. It's going to get dusty in here. We don't want that.
Yeah.
No, but like, I'm serious. Seriously, like, I can definitely dwell on all the things that I get wrong.
Yeah, but what good are you doing?
None. I'm not accomplishing God's purpose for me by focusing on all the things that I've done wrong.
No, you know what that is?
It's choosing to stay in the rut.
That's the little red bastard,
dude,
we call the enemy.
Yeah,
in your ear, that little serpent tongue licking your eardrum, just teasing you, talking about, look what you did,
you little mother.
That's what it is.
Yeah,
you know.
Oh, you said you were going to do this. You said you told God yesterday. You know what you
did? That's when you're like, that dude.
Mm-hmm. You told God yesterday.
Like, you're talking about me. Well, let's talk about what's going to happen with you. Like, you already know.
Hey, let me tell you what God says about you and what God says about me.
Yeah.
Because God says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yeah. In his creation, his masterpiece. Creation,
his masterpiece. I am above and not below. I am the head and not the tail. I have dominion over you. Greater is he that is in me than he who is in the world. Right? The power of Christ is within me. And you tremble at the name of Jesus. You start shaking in your little fiery boots, mother trucker. You know what I'm saying? You start shaking at that name. But you have the audacity to convict me.
Yeah. To stick when that tongue says, in my ear and just talk wiggle, about wiggle, all wiggle. The stuff that I'm doing wrong.
Yeah. While you know, if you look at yourself in the mirror, Mr. Devil, if you look at yourself in the mirror, Mr. Enemy, while you know, he says you are his footstool. Not me and you. He is.
Yeah.
Right?
When he tries to remind you of your past, remind him of his future.
It's a pretty dark and bleak one.
Yeah.
Ours is full of a lot of light.
Man, you know what's okay? So, I'll make this one quick. When you think about the enemy and you think about the things that happen, the things that are going to happen, you talk about the second coming of Christ. You talk about him riding in, when Christ first came. To be the Messiah that we needed, to be the sacrifice we needed. He was a loving, wonderful, caring. He was everything that nobody thought he should be.
Right.
Okay, the second coming of Christ is the one that everybody expected him to be the first time. Yeah. It's a general. He's coming back and he stands on business this time.
And I want to be on that side of the fight.
Like this dude comes in. Just launching lightning bolts from his eyeballs and just handling business. I don't want to be the dude that was like, man, I had a thought that this was going to happen, but I really wasn't sold on it. No, I want to be the one that's like,
Yes.
Handle it. Get this out of the way. Like, I'm ready to go. I got my bags packed.
Oh, even Jesus had a plan. You talked about that earlier. Even Jesus had a plan. Hey, and you know what? Are your bags packed? Are you ready? You know what I mean? Are we ready? And look, we're going
to
bring
I would like to say my bags are packed, just it ain't zipped.
Ooh. Yeah, you're right.
It's there.
I'm waiting to see if I got to put something else in.
It's all gathered up. It just ain't zipped up.
Yeah.
I think that's a testimony to the fact that of speaking about how much I've been struggling here lately.
Yeah.
Like, it's there. It's all in the general vicinity. It just ain't zipped up.
I'm just thinking, do I need
to
put
this in? I
just
don't want
to
get caught with my pants down.
Yeah. He says you shouldn't. You don't want to, right? You don't want to get caught with
your pants
down.
I don't want to be lukewarm. I don't want to be any of them things. That's why it bothers me so much.
I understand.
I
will refer you to.
It's terrifying to think that a year ago, I was so hot and so dedicated and I would leave Bible study and sit in my driveway and throw my hands in the air and do praise and worship by myself in the driveway with tears flowing out of my eyes. And then go inside and then sit and talk to my wife about the message that I heard. And I did this and I can hear this and I can hear all this. And then now I'm struggling just to even say a prayer.
Have you heard the new Brandon Lake song? I'm sure you have, the Hard Fought Hallelujah. He says, I'll come with my Heartfelt, been through hell, hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
I was hearing that song on Saturday, and I can't remember the actual lyric, but he said something about his praise, giving him praise or whatever. And I looked at my wife and I said, you know, sometimes that praise costs you something. And it was something that struck me. It was something that God was telling me that sometimes that praise, it doesn't necessarily cost you anything bad. It's a good thing, but it costs you your pride. It costs you what you think is your strength. It costs you, for a man, it costs you, and you have to humble yourself, right? And I feel like God was telling me, like, your praise is just as impactful to me in your brokenness as long as you're willing to surrender.
Yeah.
and it costs. It's painful. It hurts. In this world, it feels like it hurts and it's painful. We're losing something. It's, you see what I'm saying? Like, I don't even know that it makes sense what I'm trying to tell you. I really don't. I just know that that's what was going through my heart in the moment, that it costs me something sometimes. But the cost is only here. It's only focused on what's happening here and now. It's not focused on the eternal, right?
Yeah.
Because the cost is nothing compared to the return on investment. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We feel like that cost is so great to have to let something go and to have to put something aside to choose God first. You know what I'm right. You know what I mean.
That cost. But how often do we just like drop things and we're like, eh.
We take shit for granted real easy.
But that's the one thing that we have a hard time deciding, like, oh, it's worth it?
It shouldn't be. You and I both know that.
Okay, prime example. You can be sitting in a vehicle that you're like, man, I'm tired of this one. I'm trading it in. And you can go into the dealership and be told, man, you're $7,500 upside down. You're like, I don't care. I want out of it. It's that easy. This is something that's free. And you still can't make
that. And the reward is greater.
And the reward is greater. And you still can't make that decision. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
We're foolish. We are foolish.
We are foolish.
I know many people that be like, I'm not even going to lie. At one point, I was $11,000 upside down on my vehicle the day I bought it. Because that's the hickey I took.
Yeah.
I mean, thankfully, I totaled that truck, so I didn't have to worry about it
you
no
had
more.
Some gap insurance on that bad boy.
Gap insurance, and I totaled it. But I would have cared. You know how long it would have taken me to pay that off?
Forever.
$11,000 upside down day one of the day I signed my note. I was $11,000 upside down. How? Well, what bank decides, oh, that's a good idea? Let this dude with a subpar credit score be $11,000 upside down on a vehicle that's already overpriced brand new to begin with.
Yeah. But we can't sacrifice for something that's freely given.
Freely. That's free.
Oh,
we'll do that. But we won't give up nothing. We won't sacrifice for something that's free. That's that world. Those are those worldly things. Those are those possessions.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your doing. It is the gift of God. I mean... Well, but okay, again, go back to where we started our night, before we started hit record and started our conversation, we've identified something, right? I feel like we do this every time we identify something. We've done it with our group and our relationships and all this kind of stuff. Look, it's great that you've identified it. Now what the hell are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
Because you get the choice. Yeah. That's the great thing about
God.
That's
the scary thing with me right now.
Well, but
it's like I have the choice.
But are you going to choose right?
Yeah. I mean, like I told you, I talked about this last night. I was at home hanging out. I was waiting on my wife to get home. My wife was doing her extracurricular activities. I had my dogs in the bed with me. We were laying there. We were watching The Chosen.
Yep.
I told you I needed something fulfilling and humbling. I needed to feel something. I had been dwelling on this all day. Like, it really been – I was really hung up on it. You know, I was going to go to bowling. I was like, man, I'm gonna go watch a bowl. I'll go have a couple drinks. I had to go check on the rent house, kind of do some other things. I'm like, I'll go have a couple drinks with her, go hang out with her. And I was like, man, you know what? Like, I really need to be home. I just had that very overwhelming, compelling feeling.
Yeah.
My dogs have been in their kennel all day, been cooped up all day. I was really looking for something humbling, something wholesome, kind of help lift me up. I'd been struggling. Get there, start watching some Chosen. Dogs are in the bed with me. I'm like, okay. I've been having a hard time sleeping anyways. I told you that too. I'm a stomach sleeper, which is a no-no right now. A huge
no-no
right now.
No. Mm-hmm.
He's like, straight on your side, no bending, or on your back. I've never slept like that in my life. I do the mountain climber pose. Like, I'm on my stomach with one leg up. like up by my elbow. Like I'm like this with one leg up by my elbow. That's how I'm, that's how I sleep.
Yeah.
This is very hard for me. And especially now, because I've been off all the meds for so long that it's the last couple weeks have been like really dragging on. Like, how can I get comfortable?
Right.
I'm sitting there with my dogs on my side watching this. And I'm, like I told you, he got mad at me because I think I was snoring. And he's like, no, I'm done. Hey, like, yeah, he nosed me in my nosed me in my eye. Like, he like stood up and was like, pow. Like, wake up. But
come on, Mother Church.
Yeah. Anyways, sometimes you just got to have that humbling experience. Yeah. It's just like last night, I was craving it. I just had to have it.
Yeah.
Something about everything going on with me was just like, okay, look, I got to get grounded.
Yeah.
I made all those promises to myself last night.
Yeah.
I woke up this morning, didn't complete one of them. Less than 24 hours. I mean, we're looking at less than 12 hours. We're looking at 8 hours.
Yeah.
8 hours later.
Yeah.
I get to work and I'm like, I'm looking at my phone. I'm like, I was in such a hurry. I didn't have 10 minutes this morning. Like I was talking about, I'm going to take my prayer time in my closet or in the shower, some quiet time, some peaceful time. I'm going to do my prayer life. I didn't have 10 minutes and I'm looking at my phone like, I'm 10 minutes early to work.
I had plenty of time.
I was running around like a chicken with my head cut off thinking I was going to be late.
Yeah.
I'm 5:20 in the morning. Mm-hmm. I'm at work already and I'm like, I had 10 minutes. What is going on with me? What's that?
That slippery little silver tongue.
Yeah.
Kulo.
Little silver tongue devil. Yep. Anyways, okay. So.
Right now he's got you fooled though, bro.
Yeah, he does got me fooled.
But he's a liar and he comes only to steal, kill, and destroy.
Why did the girl smear peanut butter on the road? To go with the traffic jam.
That's the most solid one that we've had in a while. That's a solid one.
Wow.
Still terrible, but it's still solid. Terrible, yeah. Solid.
That one's still pretty good. Lay something thick, man. Like, put something heavy on me. I want to hear something good. Well, I don't mean to like boom, 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 boom. Like put the pressure on you, but.
No pressure.
You always have some good ones.
I got two. The first one's a little off color for what we normally do. Real growth starts when you're tired of your own shit.
Who's that by?
Not quoted.
Sounds pretty familiar. Sounds like we know that dude. You know what I mean? Like that's what I'm saying.
Sounds like something we said to each other. Hey,
does that dude go to our Bible study?
This other one is not quoted either. Do not be afraid to start over again. This time you're not starting from scratch. You're starting from experience.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a really good one.
I think it's apropos to where we're at right now.
Yeah, they're both really good.
I'll be honest with you. I'm tired of my own shit. Yeah.
Okay, so look, man, if any person that's actually trying to grow, They're tired of their own shit.
Yeah, for sure.
If you're genuinely trying to grow, you're tired of your own shit. You're like, man, I'm tired of myself. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of all this crap. Yeah. If you're really trying to grow, you get tired of yourself. You get tired of all the bullshit.
Well, and you know, I think that's where you get whenever you feel like you're not doing what you feel like you should be doing, or you know you're better than the action or the things that you're saying, but I'll refer you back to number three of one of our goals for the year, and that's
speak positively.
Do not give life to the
tongue. Has the power of life and death. Be careful what you do with it.
100%, man. It's a dangerous tool, but it can also be a very powerful tool in your favor. We just have to use it for that.
You just have to speak life. You can't speak negativity.
Yeah, and for any men out there, you know what? We focus on men because we are men, and that's all we know how to relate to. But
we've had women guests on here. We've talked about things like this. Man, this is a people podcast.
Absolutely,
this is a people podcast. This 100%. Is for the people. This is
100%. Yes, for God's kingdom.
This is. We're not trying to single anyone out. This is 100% for God's glory. Like we want. look, we talked about this too. How much do you have to hate somebody to believe there's a heaven and hell and not teach them to go to heaven? How much do you have to hate somebody? We ain't singling nobody out.
No.
Nobody.
I want everybody.
Yeah.
I want all of them.
But yeah. Then that goes back to that, how much do you really love them?
Yeah.
We're all guilty of it.
Only as much as I love myself, apparently.
We're all guilty of it.
100%.
But you just got to be man enough to recognize it and
move to the next one.
Try to do what you can to change it.
Just do better. What we talk about all the time, we talk about the process, right? We talk about the process of making a masterpiece, right? And the becoming a masterpiece is a process. In my current form, am I a masterpiece? Yes, I'm just not complete. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I have to go through the process, and things have to change within me. And I believe truly that the fact that you're concerned about where you are, look, God says that the spirit prays for you in moanings and groanings, right? Like the spirit also intercedes on your behalf. Even if your prayer life isn't that strong personally, the spirit still speaks for you, right? Jesus still speaks for you because you love and trust in him. Just because you're not necessarily where you think you should be doesn't mean anything. You know, sometimes our lessons and our love is grown through failure and pain. Yeah. You and I know that for sure.
Yeah.
Right? Because we've been through a lot in life. Are you looking for the perfect one? Show the camera while you do it.
I think it's the fat ones, dude. I really do. Like this one's fat. Like this one's swole up. Like you see the difference? Like this one's like freaking, this got some girth to it. Like,
you're going
to
be mad as hell if ain't shit in there.
Yeah, I am. I am going to be mad, dude. I'm tired of the disappointments, man. I now know how my wife feels.
Word. I know, right? That tater tot ain't moving 200 miles an hour no more.
Yeah, it ain't got to be long, but a tater tot at 200 miles an hour does a whole lot of damage.
I ain't got 200 miles an hour in me no more. I'm about 110 maybe. Anyway.
For bumper stick of wisdom, before we close this out, I want to tell everybody, all the major podcast platforms,
yep,
we're there. YouTube, TikTok, RSS.com. Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify. We're everywhere, Spotify,
yep.
Facebook, Instagram, yep. BSWUnbound80@gmail.com. Hit us up. We love you. I'm Jason.
And I'm John.